preaching Jesus and Him crucified. That subject is overlooked so often. We get on, it seems, everything else. And all sorts of modern day subjects rather than Jesus and Him crucified. I suggest that you buy, if you haven't already, a lectureship book, write your name in it so you can keep it, then buy some others to give to your congregation. I have bought lectureship books here and have given one to each of our elders, and I hope they read them. But in the lectureship book, you'll find a different lesson from the one I'm going to be preaching this morning. So if you don't buy the book, you're going to miss half of what little, at least, I have to say. So please get a book and read that chapter, I believe it's 214 or something, where it begins, and put it together with this one to get the whole of what is being said and what I wish to say to you. My assignment is a topic that would certainly please God, would please Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and even the great Apostle Paul. Because it was the Apostle Paul who wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, where he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul determined that beforehand. He decided in the beginning that he was going to preach, and he decided what he was going to preach, and what he was going to preach was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I know that this is going to please Jehovah God because this is what the inspired apostle preached and, of course, determined to do so. Paul did not choose the wisdom of man, nor did he choose those enticing words of men, nor did he choose the wisdom of the world, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 7. That's what he preached. And that's what I'm assigned to preach. And after all, if I don't preach that, I have nothing to preach anyway. I'm wasting your time. But we want to do that today. It's not at all strange. But that's what Philip preached to the eunuch as he was riding down in his chariot going back home from worship in Jerusalem. Philip joined that chariot and began at the same scripture, Isaiah chapter 53, and he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. That's what we have to preach. Now, since Philip was inspired to preach Jesus to this religious Ethiopian, and since Paul was inspired to preach Jesus to the religious and non-religious Corinthians, do you suppose we could please God and preach anything else? What a rhetorical question. Certainly we could not. Many are the important events recorded in the New Testament about the most august person who ever graced the earth, Jesus Christ. Though no event in His life was unimportant, no event that is recorded is unimportant, yet none surpasses the crucifixion in importance. We must preach Jesus and Him crucified. The birth of Jesus Christ, how important was it? Certainly it was important. Though people make it the most important of all days, a day called Christmas, which is not even biblical, time-wise or name-wise, it was important, but it was John and Mark who did not even record it. Of the four, what we call Gospels, one Gospel, of course, four writers. Again, the transfiguration of Jesus Christ with Moses and Elias. John didn't so much as mention that important event in the life of Jesus Christ. the ascension of Jesus. Matthew and John omitted it. Now remember, all of these were inspired men writing what God had them write. And yet, these things were not important in the sense that all four of them dealt with these subjects of these events. The very last words of Jesus Christ to His chosen 12. Only Luke had the privilege of recording those things, and they're recorded in Acts chapter 1. All these are important, yet none of them is more important than the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ, the death of Christ, is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in 15 other of the New Testament books do we read about the death of Jesus Christ. We need to keep in mind that of 27 New Testament books, 19 of them deal with, 17 of them, 19 of the 27 deal with this subject. Besides the 19 books in the New Testament that deals with the death of Jesus Christ, Genesis, Psalms, Daniel, Isaiah, and Zechariah of the Old Testament do. We're not talking about something that is not important when we're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We're preaching something that is of terrific importance. How then can anyone preach the gospel of Christ, preach the gospel period, preach the gospel of God, and not preach Jesus and Him crucified? It cannot be done. However, some are preaching, and they claim they're preaching the gospel of Christ when they are not preaching the gospel of Christ at all. We should read our New Testaments through with the cross, that is, the death of Christ, as our focal point. The word cross is not an Old Testament word. The word cross is only a New Testament word. The word cross is found 28 times in the New Testament, and 22 times it's having to do with the cross on Calvary. 22 times it's mentioned. It's an important subject. We are to preach on it. We should notice also, as we study the cross and the death of Christ, the priority, the attention, the amount of space given to Jesus and Him crucified. We must do that in order to please God and in order for those of us who are preachers and teachers to teach or preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should analyze our own convictions along with that. Am I? Are you really interested in the cross of Jesus Christ? Is that important to us? Can we relate the events that are recorded having to do with the death of Jesus Christ and finally the cross? Maybe. Maybe that's one of our problems. Maybe we are not spending enough time on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, my subject for this morning. We should believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We should sow the seed of the cross of Jesus Christ, and we should convert people to the idea of the cross and the death of Jesus Christ, as it is so important toward the salvation of the souls of all mankind. Yes, it is yet God's power to save. It is everything with respect to the salvation of man. If there is something wrong with us, the church, maybe we should look at our attitudes toward Jesus and Him crucified. We always have a need to study the last chapters of the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John having to do with the life of Jesus Christ. As it concerns the cross, we should get the chronology of it all. We should learn Christ. In order to learn Christ, we must learn this part of it. I can't preach Jesus Christ without preaching that. Certainly we should preach Jesus and Him crucified. We must preach Jesus and Him crucified. We must need know the facts of Jesus and Him crucified before we can have faith to obey the commands of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to know these things. If one is convinced of the facts, and one is convicted of his or her own sins in their lives, or this sinful life, then he or she will probably be anxious to obey the commands so that they may enjoy the blessings and the promises of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God had Luke to tell us that Philip began preaching Jesus in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, to the eunuch. The result was another sinner was saved and added to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing followed. No wonder there is so little rejoicing in the world. If people don't understand the death of Jesus Christ, and if people after hearing it are not convicted and convinced and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, rejoicing cannot follow. But when this man heard Jesus preached, even though the preacher was immediately taken away, this new person that he had just met, the eunuch had just met, though he was taken away, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why? He had learned about Jesus Christ. He had learned how, preaching Jesus Christ, to become saved. He had done what was required of God to meet the qualifications of salvation. And the result was he was saved, he was added to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47, and he went on his way rejoicing, even not knowing what happened to the evangelist, the preacher who was there to help him. Another sinner was saved. We should put more emphasis on Jesus and his cross as we begin teaching folks the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the place to start, preaching Jesus. That's what Peter did. In Acts chapter 2, he stood up with the 11, you remember, verse 14, and he began preaching. And he said, "This same Jesus whom you folks have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." That's what he preached, Jesus. Acts chapter 2. Can we do better? The worst thing that ever happened in the world was the best thing that ever happened for the world. It was for me that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. The cross. It's true. It's not a fable. It's true. It draws all men. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." It draws people to Him. It awes. We just are struck with awe. It overpowers. It can't be improved upon. It's God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, all in one story. We're saved by grace. It's the way God wants, and the only way man can be saved. It's the one act that God designed before He made the world, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. As Dale was telling us yesterday afternoon, or last night, sometimes our songs, we do not sing scriptural songs. Some of the verses we should just leave out. I was telling Dale, I lead singing occasionally, and I use the same hymnal when I lead singing. And you'll find throughout that hymnal, this verse is just scratched out. If I'm leading the singing, I don't have to peruse the whole thing to begin. I know which verses to skip that are unscriptural, so that and I'll often will explain why. God didn't search through heaven to look for a Savior. He chose that plan, His Son, His own Son, His only Son, before the world began. The cross, the one act that God designed before He made the world to save the world, Jesus' death. But there they were in the upper room. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, John 13, all recorded. There they were in the upper room. Remember the towel, the supper? We need to think about these things. How seldom we do. It was not long ago in this city, the city of Lubbock, on a Sunday morning, a preacher got up and had one of the elders come up and wash the preacher's feet in Lubbock. That's not what the Lord's teaching here. We know that. Everyone who understands the Word of God understands that. Remember the Lord's Supper, instituting of it as they were together there in the upper room? You remember Judas departing? How sad. The Lord knew all along what was going to happen. The others did not until he pointed him out. Remember the prideful Peter? Why, I'll never forsake you as long as life is in my body, I won't. We think the same way, do we not? Do we have the conviction to stand with it? There was the singing of a hymn. Singing, not playing. Might remember that. The singing of a hymn. And they went out. Preach Jesus, brethren, and him crucified. Jesus and his reduced band of 11 then crossed the temple area. They exited the Golden Gate. They crossed the Kidron Brook. They go up the Mount of Olives into the Garden of Gethsemane. We need to preach Jesus and him crucified. The Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26 again. Mark 14. Luke 22. John chapters 17 and 18 record these events. After the singing in the upper room, they went to prayer. Jesus did in the garden. He often went to the Mount of Olives to pray. Now here, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find Jesus, a human, and the human feelings being shown more than at other times. Certainly he was divine. Certainly he was deity. But certainly he was human. And at this particular time, his reaction showed mortal fear. I can't even imagine the fear. I can't even imagine him knowing in advance what was going to happen. I can't imagine his being there. His disappointment. Disappointment? Just think of it. We won't go to all the explanations. The loneliness there. He left the first 8, then the last 3, and then he went a little farther. And there he was praying to his Father, our Father. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine be done. The divine responsibility of becoming sin, to die for my sins and your sins. Jesus Christ, knowing that as he was there in the garden praying. Sweat became as blood. Didn't say he sweat blood, but his sweat became as blood, and great drops of blood fell from his face to the earth as he suffered. I've suffered considerably at times, have you? Most everyone here, if I ask you to raise your hand, have you ever suffered? We could all raise our hands. We have. Have you ever suffered that you sweat like that? I never have. I never have. His three most loyal friends, the apostles, Peter, James, and John, went to sleep. Here he is suffering the agony of the cross in advance. And Peter, James, and John, the best friends he had, the most supportive, went to sleep. And again, they went to sleep. Jesus came back the third time and said, sleep on. But there's no other way. This is God's saving plan for the race. Man criticizes, but we, brothers, must preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. If preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified will not convince people, will not convict people, will not cause people to love God and his Son, nothing else will. Nothing else will. There's the arrest. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, John 18, all recorded. Scripture was fulfilled. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. We usually stop right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We stop with the verse 6. We miss another coordinating conjunction. Did you ever read it? Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose, and there were witnesses. That coordinated conjunction is just as important as the others. There had to be witnesses to prove it. Over 515 people saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. That's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are facts. Facts that must be preached. Now, we don't want to make the mistake. I heard a PhD preacher, and I wish I had a few of those. I heard this PhD preacher said, the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ is all there is to the gospel of Christ. Strange, Paul didn't know that. He wrote the Thessalonians and said we had to obey the gospel. And what would happen to those who didn't? Oh, you don't obey facts, you obey commands. Yes, the gospel consists of commands as well as the fact that we need to know these facts. And there was Judas. Judas knew where Jesus would be. No doubt he had been there with Jesus often to go into the Mount of Olives, into the garden to pray. And so Judas found him. And in order they might be sure to get the right man, Judas kissed Jesus. Can you imagine that? I mean, 30 pieces of silver. Somebody said, yes, he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's not what happened. He sold himself. He sold himself for 30 pieces of silver. Brothers, we must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus called him friend. Can you imagine that? Here he is betraying the master, making sure they get the right man, taking money for doing it, and still the Lord Jesus Christ calling him friend. I'm afraid that would have been beyond me, but it wasn't beyond the love of my Lord Jesus Christ. He called him friend. He was left alone because, according to prophecy, all the disciples, Matthew 26:56, Mark records as well, all the disciples forsook him and fled. Just like was prophesied, he said they would all go, and they did. Though alone, Jesus was still in command. We sometimes don't realize that he could have stopped that proceeding any time he chose. But he said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. It was God's will that he die on the cross. He was going through it, whether it felt good or not, and it certainly didn't, because he was just as human as you are, as I am today. Yes, there they were. Though he was in command, he was a sheepless shepherd at this moment. His apostles had forsaken him and fled. They were shepherdless sheep at this particular time. Thank God they came back. But there he was, all alone, in command. The cross wasn't an accident. The cross was not a mistake. But it was the eternal plan of the eternal God. We must preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes, Peter followed afar off. Why? Well, Matthew chapter 26, verse 58 says, he did it to see the end. He wanted to see. He was curious. Most of us are curious. We chase fire trucks, a few other things. We're curious too. Peter wanted to see the end. And even though he denied, he cursed, he cried, yet he repented and preached Jesus and him crucified. Acts chapter 2 for just one place. And then there was the authorities. Jesus before Annas, Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin, the priests, the scribes, all these religious people. What a terrible night. What a terrible night before man's best. Jesus is slapped, Jesus is ridiculed, Jesus is spit upon. Before man's best, no man was ever tried like God tried his own son here just before the cross. It was God's son who died. It was God's Son who died. Have you ever lost a child? We have. We know something about that. It was God's Son who died on that cross. And God was the same place when His Son died that He was when my son, our son, or our daughter died. Right there. No man has ever been so tried. God's law, man's law, God's justice, man's justice, decency, everything failed. Everything was flagrantly violated. And this so-called trial, these trials through which Jesus went, all this was man at his worst and God at his best. I'm about to get warmed up. What are you doing up here?
I'm going to get you.
Pilate knew that for envy the Jews had brought him. His wife warned him to have nothing to do with this just man. Pilate knew better. So he actually didn't judge Jesus Christ. He was judged by Jesus Christ. Pilate paid a great price for his unjust judgment. Historically, Pilate has been known as a coward. What a price to pay. Herod, Jesus never acknowledged Herod's presence. He was only curious. He wanted to see Jesus do some miraculous thing. Herod and Pilate lost the one real battle that they really needed to win. The one that really mattered, they lost. They bungled the trial of the Son of God. Jesus stands condemned, though innocent. Pilate says, I find no fault with him. Behold the man. Isn't this scourging enough? Folks says, give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Then the wreath and the robe and the crown and the mocking, and we don't have time for the rest of the lesson. So we'll have to abbreviate. The journey to the cross, his carrying his own cross, the women crying, his taking time to show compassion on the ladies as he's suffering, as they're crying. And then Simon is summoned to carry the cross. And there's the place called the skull. What a beautiful sounding place. The place called the skull, where my Lord was crucified. Think of the crucifixion. Think of how it was done. And when you read the record of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is it too graphic for you? Does it sort of make you sick at your stomach? I heard some people, after hearing quite a graphic explanation of the crucifixion, these people said, if I had known it's going to be like that, I wouldn't have come. I actually have heard it. Didn't want to hear it. One person said, well, if that preacher comes back and preaches that subject again, we won't be here. We need to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The reason, the purpose for all of this, to fulfill God's plan, to cause those who will to believe God is concerned with lost humanity, to save the world from eternal damnation in a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels, to purchase the church, the body in which all the saved are added. That's important. And to make possible salvation to all who hear, who believe, who will repent, confess Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Preaching Jesus and Him crucified. God's only plan for saving man. Preach it! And I thank you.